And now, from the Green 960 studios in San Francisco, this is an organic conversation with Helga Hellberg.
And welcome to this week's edition of An Organic Conversation, a show about food, relationships, and life itself. I'm your host, Helga Hellberg. I hope you had a great week. Thanks for all your emails and comments that we received. Caroline from Wichita, Kansas writes, "Thank you for your show. My entire family gathered this Thanksgiving around my computer, and we all listened to an episode from a few weeks ago in which you talked about paying attention and really tasting your food. We made a point of not talking, or only if we really had something to say, only if we wanted to share from the heart. It was a quiet Thanksgiving, and yet one of the most meaningful we ever had. We had an organic conversation, which can be done without words. Your show set the tone for this experience. Thank you." Thank you, Caroline from Wichita in Kansas. Yes, an organic conversation can be done without words. I was actually thinking of offering an hour one day of just silence, but it's a bit tricky for listeners who tune in late. But I'll keep looking at that. Thanks again, Caroline. If you have a comment or question, please email us at share@anorganicconversation.com. I hope your Thanksgiving was wonderful, stress-free, local, and organic. I really do hope it was local and organic, as the world leaders are gathering in Copenhagen, Denmark, this coming Monday, December 7th, for the UN Climate Change Conference. In 2012, the Kyoto Protocol to prevent climate changes and global warming runs out, so this next week is the last gathering before the end of the existing agreement, a last chance for our leaders to act to address what experts are describing as much more troublesome than we thought. To quote Janice Pastor, climate advisor to UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon. Virginia Burkett, leading scientist for global change research at the U.S. Geological Survey, says that the impacts of climate change were underestimated. The rate of change has been faster. The issue that has scientists most afraid deals with the Arctic and melting summer sea ice. Back in 1997, nobody in their wildest expectations would have contemplated a loss of summer sea ice, said Andrew Weaver, a University of Victoria climate scientist. Meanwhile, oceans are also growing more acidic due to carbon dioxide in the air that is being drawn into the water, which will throw off the balance in the sensitive ocean ecosystems. So even the health of our oceans, it all starts with land use and our relationship to soil. Industrial agriculture accounts for over 30% of overall greenhouse gas emissions and 20% of all fossil fuels used, with the average meal in the United States being shipped 1,600 miles from field to plate. Soil, however, has a natural ability to store or sequester CO2 or carbon, and local organic food production can change agriculture from being a carbon source to being a carbon solution. So choosing local and organic food this holiday season is not just tastier, more just, humane, economically important, better for the environment, and safer. It is nothing short of directly helping to address the challenges of climate change and global warming. You're listening to An Organic Conversation, and we'll be right back after the break. And we are back here to An Organic Conversation. I'm your host, Helga Hellberg. And that was the Dave Matthews Band with Crush, which is so appropriate. I'm excited about our guest today, Jill Lee, Director of Education at McAvoy Ranch, producers of estate-grown, organic, extra virgin artisan olive oil, and Roberto Zecca, award-winning olive oil expert, certified master olive oil taster, and owner of Frantoio Ristorante, one of the finest Italian restaurants in the San Francisco Bay Area in Mill Valley, California. Welcome, both of you, to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me here.
How are you?
Great.
Good.
You must be busy. This is the time of the year, December 5th. Has the crush started?
Definitely. It's a busy time in the mill.
The mills are spinning.
Yeah. They're not spinning quite as much as they used to. Unfortunately, this year, the crop is very limited in terms of quantity. On the compensated side is the quality of the olive oil is excellent, and the yield of the fruit is higher than usual. But we are going to have a much reduced amount of olive oil ultimately.
Why this year, do you know?
Statewide.
Statewide.
This is a bad year
it's
for
it? It's climatic. It's just, unfortunately, the blossoming occurs in 1 week. 1 week only, when the tree decides to do the pollination. And if it's humid, or if it's raining, or if it's too cold, it does not occur. So,
Jill, McAvoy, such an institution when it comes to olive oil. Tell us a little bit about the operation. How did it start? What was the vision? What was the dream?
Nan McAvoy, our owner, she purchased the property back in 1990. And at the time, there wasn't really any olive oil industry in California. It was just at the very beginnings. And she bought a piece of beautiful property in Marin County, and it was agriculturally zoned. So she had to come up with her agricultural practice. And it had been a dairy farm for many decades. She wasn't really interested in doing animals, but she did love olive oil and took many trips to Italy and brought back her delicious Tuscan-style olive oil. So she thought, well, let's try olives. And it wasn't very common to be growing any olives in the coastal region that we're in. More the Central Valley of California is where our olive groves are.
Yeah, is it warm enough in Marin?
It's warm enough. Yeah, it depends on the varietals and how you tend your trees, but we've been growing our trees since the early 90s, and we've got over 18,000 of them, and I'd say they're pretty happy trees.
So, yeah. How many acres are you growing?
The property's 550 acres, and we grow just over 80 acres of that is olives.
And it's 18,000 trees?
About 18,000 trees.
Roberto, how about you? When did you get bitten by the olive bug? I mean, I think when you were a teenager, you already knew, right?
No, not really. I was a banker all my life. But I was a very ambitious banker. I worked all over the world. And at 45, I just ran out of speed and I bought a castle in Tuscany, which of course had 16 hectares of historical olive trees. So what do? You better learn what to do with those olives before you get booed out of town. So I went to school. I took classes because, of course, traveling as a banker, I learned languages. So I could take classes in Italian, Spanish, French. And I came back to the States to just be with my children and my family in 1991, 92. And just myself, Nan, and Ridgely Evers, the three, and poor Lila Yeager, that unfortunately died a few years back, just created this organization. And then we started out by revitalizing the olive oil industry. Only 15 years ago, I started making olive oil and tasting and stuff.
And what is grabbing you when you taste it? What is it about olive oil that makes it so special?
The exam, it grabs you because it's so difficult. You have to taste 12 olive oils are arranged in front of you. The teacher removes one glass, closes the line. You have to put it back in the right place. And that is done 4 times on 4 different flavors. So you got to do 16 trials and then you do the blah. It's very tough. Very, very tough. So it's first the challenge of passing the exam. Second, to train a team good enough to be able to send your results to Madrid and be recognized by the International Olive Oil Council, which we did. And ultimately to make a competition worldwide, famous worldwide, to show our olive oils up against the famous producers, Spain, mm-hmm. Italy, Greece, and all the others. And that is what we have done.
So, Jill, you have a BS in agriculture, in biology. to be specific.
In biology, right.
How did you come to olives? Was it just a job that sounded interesting, or now you've been with McAvoy for what, eight years?
Just about 8 years. My background is more in science, but I did go to agricultural-based institutions here in California, Cal Poly and San Luis Obispo and UC Davis. And although I wasn't majoring in agriculture, I apparently just needed to be drawn that direction. Moving to Petaluma in the early 90s, I heard about this olive ranch that was in Petaluma and making olive oil. And I had never lived in an area where olive oil was produced. And I thought that sounded very exotic and interesting. Came out one day for a tour and said, I need to be here. This is somewhere that I belong. And it was really about a year later before I did anything about that and actually made the phone call and said, you know, what kind of work opportunities do you have? And the door just opened at that point. And my background is in nutrition and health, and that's what I had been doing for many years. And what better healthy nutritional food product can you find out there besides olive oil?
Yeah, what
it was
can
a
you
great
find?
Match.
So now you're the director of education. What does that entail? What do? You give tours quite a bit. The interest is gigantic.
We bring the public out to the ranch for tours. There's a lot to learn about olive oil. This isn't the Mediterranean, unfortunately, where people have grown up with fresh mills or fresh olive oil being milled down the road and knowing what good quality olive oil is all about. So it takes some education. We go out into the community and talk about olive oil and help support those people that are selling our product and quality olive oil so that the consumer knows what the difference is between the good quality oils, especially the good local quality oils that are out there, and the very mediocre products.
So what do you teach them as an example? They come to the ranch, you show them the orchard, and then they get a tasting of that year's harvest?
Or right.
Previous year's
harvest?
Yeah,
we talk a lot about our story, how we got started, why we got started. We're an organic ranch, certified organic, so we talk about what that means to us and our practices out in the orchard. We have a mill on site that's certified organic and what that means, how the olives are made from the whole olive into the oil. And then we talk about the culinary uses of olive oil and taste the oil and pick out some of the descriptors and what to look for, how to use it, how to best appreciate olive oil.
So if people are interested in coming to a tour, where would they find information on your website?
On our website. And right now we're not in tour season, www.mcavoyranch.com. We have an open house, actually, on Sunday, December 6th, tomorrow, that is free to the public. They can go to our website and sign up for that. It's free, but we do require people to sign up. And actually, tomorrow, people will be able to see the olive oil being made. We're right in the middle of the season of crushing the olives and milling. So that's a unique opportunity. The rest of the year, we have spring through early fall. We have tours of many different kinds. People can learn about the olive oil making process. They can come see our organic gardens. We have a couple different exciting ideas planned for this coming tour season.
And it's actually, speaking of which, when I saw it the first time, how this stream of golden, almost you know, fuel-like substance, it's this big round stream, an inch wide or so, out of the mill with the crush, just like honey pours out of a centrifuge. It's gorgeous. Is that how you grew up, Roberto? Is that what, like when Jill says, you know, people in Europe have that basically on every street corner? Was that part of your childhood?
It's very interesting. I mean, I approach this, as I told you, from a banker's point of view, early retiring banker. So yes. I documented myself. And one of the first things that I learned in Europe is that people think that they know everything, but they actually don't.
But
you will
Americans
be surprised.
Believe we do.
Yes, of course. Let me now go on the record. In Europe,
don't give away your secrets.
Don't.
So if you go to a supermarket in any given city, in any given country in Europe, you'll find the same variety of qualities mixed up to the same extent, the same way that they are here. Some very mediocre, badly marked olive oils, which are commercial, and they maybe are advertised, but they do not represent what the label really describes. And if you want to know about that, we'll tell you all the history about trying to guess truth in labeling in this country, which hasn't been easy.
But let's talk about that just before labeling. But what makes an olive oil good and what makes it mediocre?
Okay.
The quality of olives or the mix of...
No. Olives, as they are produced by the tree, will give you an olive oil that is decent. Yeah. Might not be stellar, but it will be decent.
What would make it stellar?
The way you treat the olive from the moment that leaves the tree until the moment that you put it in a bottle and to put it on your food, because even after the bottle, there are some ways of ruining an olive oil.
And what would good treatment mean?
The good treatment means immediate harvesting and processing of the fruit. The fruit might look whole and completely untouched, but if it's being harvested 3 days, 4 days ago in a mass in a sack or something like that, or in a bin, that fruit is already fermenting. If you put your hands in the middle of a bin, those regular bins of 4 feet by 4 feet, and you dig a little bit and you put your hand in there, after 2 days, it's already hot. You just touch those olives that are fermenting. So, and that will create a defect, which we call fusty. And that is classic defect. So that's one thing, immediate processing. Second, the process has to be done with equipment that is flawlessly clean. Because if there is a little bit of leftover of yesterday's product in there, will decay the entire process.
Sure.
Then you have to have cleanliness in the equipment. Then when you receive the olive oil, you have to make sure that you fill the tanks to the brim, or you insert some gas that will prevent oxidation. And then
Have air in it whatsoever.
No. So it's a lot of things like that. And light also decay, and temperature also decay the olive oil. So there is a lot that has to be done. But if you do a good job, you can make decent olive oil even with mission olives. Let's put it this way, which have been...
And you said from the moment the tree puts its first leaf out, so how do you treat the tree and feed the soil and feed the tree
is
part of it.
Interesting to know that the soil participates to the quality of the ultimate quality of the olive oil by 10% only. So it's all climatic. 50% is climatic and the rest is operational. The remaining 50% is what you do with the olive the moment it leaves the tree. Those are, I would say, 45, and 10%.
And we will hear what McEvoy Ranch does to produce such an outstanding product and the labeling of good and mediocre products from Roberto and from Jill right after the break. You're listening to An Organic Conversation. I'm your host, Helge Hellberg. We'll be right back.
Se bastasse una bella canzone a far piovere amore, si potrebbe cantarla un milione di volte. Bastasse già, bastasse già. Non ci vorrebbe poi tanto imparare ad amare di
An Organic Conversation is brought to you by Spotica Skincare. Founded by Janet Leigh Katzen, Spotica is a holistic approach to skincare that is 100% pure and natural, free of synthetic chemicals, and includes organic and wild-crafted ingredients. For more information about Spotica Skincare products and the Spotica Spa, visit spotica.com. That's SPHATIKA.com.
Hi, I'm Peter Walsh. My wife and I founded Manika Jewelry with the intention to offer a different kind of jewelry. Beautiful, made by local Bay Area artists, and without a social or environmental compromise. Our featured designers use reclaimed precious metals and Kimberly certified gemstones. It's jewelry made with heart and soul. Come visit our store just off Union Square at 11 Maiden Lane in San Francisco, or visit our website at manikajewelry.com.
For the ultimate West Marin experience, visit Toby's Feed Barn in Point Reyes Station, home of the Point Reyes Farmers Market every Saturday. Toby's Feed Barn features organic produce, native plants, gifts, books, an organic coffee bar, an art gallery, concerts, even daily yoga classes. Toby's Feed Barn in downtown Point Reyes Station, open 7 days a week, family owned and operated since 1942, a West Marin original. For more information, visit tobysfeedbarn.com.
Frey Vineyards is America's first organic winery, family-owned and operated since 1980. Dedicated to the highest levels of organic and biodynamic farming, Frey never adds synthetic sulfites or other preservatives to their wines. Frey organic and biodynamic wines include delicious Cabernet Sauvignon, Zinfandel, Syrah, Chardonnay, and Sauvignon Blanc. Frey Vineyards Mendocino County award-winning wines, without added sulfites. Available at grocery stores and online at freywine.com. That's FreyWine.com.
Marin Organic, an association of organic food producers in Marin County, California, is helping to create a healthy and sustainable food shed just north of the Golden Gate Bridge. A model for how to feed a region in a way that is economically viable, environmentally sound, socially just, and culturally appropriate. The opportunity to change the world is right on our plates. Be a part of the solution. For more information on Marin Organic and how to support its efforts, visit marinorganic.org.
And we are back here to an organic conversation. I'm your host, Helge Hellberg. And with me in the studio today, Jill Lee, Director of Education at McAvoy Ranch, producers of estate-grown extra virgin artisan organic olive oil, and Roberta Secca, award-winning olive oil expert, master taster, and owner of Frantoio, a wonderful restaurant in Mill Valley, California. Jill, we talked about the season just before the break. Can you guide us through the cycle of a year briefly? When do you clip? When do the trees start to bud? And then when do you get into harvest?
We're in harvest right now. So this is the peak season with lots of activity.
That started like just last week, right? Or 2 weeks ago?
It just started about a week ago. So we never know exactly when it's going to start. Agriculture depends on so many factors. But we did start recently, and we will be going for about a 2 to 3 week total period of time.
So always November-ish, though.
Usually some part of November.
Fruit comes in.
Right. Yeah. And we never know exactly, as I said, until the olives tell us that they're ready, which is a visual inspection. So we harvest, we get the trees picked. We have people that are hand-picking them, and we have some pneumatic combs to knock the olives off the trees. And as Roberto said, it's very important to get those olives milled as quickly and as in best process possible to make a high-quality olive oil.
So you harvest in sections? Is that
We have several different orchards, and we harvest by orchard. We'll go through and harvest the whole orchard at a time. So we want to make sure that we're picking we're harvesting the orchards that are ready now, and that we're picking the ones that are going to be ripening a little bit later, further down the harvesting schedule. So we'll be harvesting an orchard at a time, bringing it into the mill.
Typically, 100 trees?
About that. Uh-huh. It varies. The density varies. When we first started, we didn't have any models here in California to base our planting spacing from. So we've modified over time. But we get the olives off the tree and to the mill as soon as possible, which usually is in a few hours. If we have any backup in the mill or we can't mill for any reason, we won't harvest because, as Roberto said, we don't want to have our olives sitting around and starting to ferment and decay and getting off flavor. So having a mill on site is crucial to producing a high-quality olive oil. So we get the olives to the mill. They go through the equipment. We have a couple different options depending on the fruit coming in.
Do they need to be cleaned in any way before, or do you need to pick out leaves?
If they're dirty,
leaves
get sorted out with the apparatus so that the leaves don't go through the mill. And we do have a washer that will blow water on if they're dirty and muddy. Uh-huh. If they're clean, they don't really need to be washed. We want to separate the oil from the other ingredients, so adding extra water isn't an advantage of any kind, but we certainly don't want dirty olives going into the mill. The better quality the olive going in, the better potential for getting the highest quality coming out. But as Roberto said, it depends on your equipment. It depends on so many factors, what you get out at the end. If you don't have super clean equipment, you're not going to have good quality olive oil.
And you have the advantage that every single drop of your olive oil comes from your own ranch, right?
Absolutely.
You're not buying any additional olives from anywhere else.
Our olive oil comes from our estate-grown olives. So they're picked, brought to our mill, made into olive oil, stored in our tanks, all on site. In fact, I brought a bottle from some olives that were milled yesterday that we can taste later. But
we
until we're until we're finished with all of our orchards, we do store the olive oil in the tanks. They're under an inert gas. We're using nitrogen. They're in a stainless steel, dark, temperature-controlled environment so that we have some quality control over our product. And then we do a final mixing when we're completely finished to get just that perfect blend of olive oil that is what we will then bottle up and have available for the public.
Roberto, Frantoio Ristorante, let's talk about that for a moment. It has been an institution in the Bay Area. It's one of the finest Italian restaurants for, what, 20 years?
15. 16 years.
It's exceptional how a restaurant can hold that reputation month after month, year after year.
Yeah.
Never drop the quality. Yeah. And the way you designed it, even when you walk in, it looks like it was designed 2 years ago. It's modern, it's classy, you have a mill in the restaurant.
Yes. Yeah. It's the only one in America.
What was your idea of putting a mill in the middle of the restaurant?
I took it backwards.
You're a renegade.
Yeah. No, I'm not. Listen, you, as a European, you'll appreciate this. In Tuscany, when you go visit the castle, you'll see that. Because making olive oil at home in your own place, it's messy, it's dirty, it's smelly. So the old castles don't have their own mills anymore. They have historical equipment, which they put as a piece of art in a corner of a room.
Exhibit.
But they go to a major center where everything is done with the state-of-the-art equipment, modern, which changes pretty fast. So what do they do with that space, which needed to be large? Most of these castles use that space to have a restaurant in there. And I leave, the press or the crusher in there just to embellish the place.
Sure.
So I took that concept and I said, wait a minute, I took an explosion of one of my houses in my property in Tuscany. That's how the restaurant looks like, one of my places. I exploded it. I put it under glass in olive oil factory and I did the reverse. Instead of having a pre-existing room, I created everything new, looking like we would do in Tuscany.
So right now, literally, the mill at Frantoio is rotating.
Working, yes. Yeah. What I do, it's the opposite of what the McEvoys are doing. I decided in 15 years that I want to do two things. I want to make my olive oil, only one, the best that I can make. So I buy olives from a certain source. I'm not going to say it on the radio. And it's just that source. And when I'm satisfied with the amount, because I don't sell to stores, I don't sell to anyone, only directly through the internet, www.frantoio.com, or at my restaurant. And then my rest of the operation is devoted to a wealth of Californians that have planted the 30 trees, the 50 trees, the 100, or maybe 1,000 trees, or maybe 10,000 trees, but they're only 3 years old. And all those people that have maybe a ton or two, and they care. They just look at their olives.
Every olive has a name.
Every olive has a name, and they talk to their olives on their way to the
grocery.
So those are the people that I really love to work with. I spend time on the phone. Since I don't have a job anymore, I really kind of love to discuss all the nuances, and they ask questions.
And so if people come to the restaurant, Lily, tonight, Saturday night, they can see the mill in action and they can buy a bottle of the olive oil right there. And
this is an interesting point. Any other year, they would have seen the mill in action. This year, where the quantity of olives, I have clients that used to have 5 tons of olives and now not coming at all because they got nothing to show. So it's the person with 3-4 tons last year now has 500 pounds. So the amount of crushing that we do is very limited. So we do it to accommodate the client. So we do it immediately as they bring it. They bring it during the day. We do it during the day.
Will that change the price this year?
It will change the profits or the lack of.
It's agriculture. I forgot.
Yes, that's it. We're under the sky. It will not change the price. The price is high. You can't increase it. You cannot go higher.
Right.
On the other end, you will have a cost of production, which is much higher because harvesting will be more expensive. If a tree has only 3 pounds of olives instead of 15 pounds of olives will cost you twice as much to harvest. And then, of course, it's all tied in.
Will the price go up for McEvoy this year because of the smaller harvest? You said you were just as affected as everyone else in California, right?
The price of what it's costing us or for other consumers?
Of olive oil, for the consumer.
No, our price is likely to stay the same. We don't know what our volume is going to be until our crop is completely in, but you can't charge more than what you can charge for olive oil.
You should.
It's liquid gold. It should be priced accordingly, but
sure.
There's a reasonable amount of money that people are willing to pay.
Yeah. Right. And so how do you eat up the loss if the production costs a certain amount and you don't have as many bottles to sell? You compensate that with other years where the harvest is better, just like any other agriculture producer?
Well, what we've started doing is having other products. We're all about olive oil, but we have many other products that we produce at McAvoy Ranch.
Like
we have our we have our cured olives, which are really tasty, the same olives we use to make olive oil. We have...
Which you brought to today.
No? Didn't bring any of those, but I'll get you some. They're very tasty. We brine cure them, so it takes a long time. But they are. We have those available. We have quite a large crop for our table olives.
You also cure them in salt water, right?
In a salt brine.
For what, a year?
It's not that long, but it's several months.
Several months,
It takes a lot longer when you brine cure them.
Yes.
But they taste really good that way. And they're much better for you than using the traditional
salt,
lye method.
Seeps out the bitterness of the olive when it comes from
the tree. To make it
more
palatable, right? You don't want to eat an olive right off the tree.
Well,
anyone who does that
doesn't do it once, second time. Yeah, exactly.
But we also have a lot of other estate products. We have a couple acres of organic gardens and orchards, so we have an abundance of fruits that will make jams. We have a lot of lemons. We make a great Meyer lemon marmalade. We have honey from our beehives. We have other crops. So we're trying to diversify. And our most recent endeavor is our line of body care, where we have products that contain our McAvoy Ranch olive oil and lotions. And we have beautiful soaps. I brought you a bar of soap. Just spreading that olive oil into many other products is
which will get you
another
off
way
the
to
seasonality.
Diversify.
Exactly, get you off the seasonality a little bit. And where can people find those products? Only at McAvoy Ranch, or
we have all of our products on our website, McAvoyRanch.com. We also have our retail shop in the Ferry Building here in San Francisco, which is open every day. And we have select stores, a lot in the Bay Area, but others nationwide that do carry some of our other products.
Oh, great. Roberta, you were talking about age, right? The age of the trees. No, of course not. No, but you were talking about the age of trees, and some trees might only be 3 or 5 years old from the clients you. What's an average age of a good, well-producing olive tree, and how old can they get?
Is it like
wine, where the older the better in a way?
And up to a point. First of all, let's establish one parameter. The olive tree really basically never dies. I've seen olive trees that are 3,500 years old in photographs that I touched in Puglia. I've seen trees with the Italian government send me there. I don't know why, but I got to see these incredible trees that were like 1,500, 2,000 years old. So these trees are still in production. Now, don't ask them to but
the
in any case, so
the...
with that parameter in mind, you have trees. When a tree hits the ground and start producing the first time, the complexity of the olive oil will be limited. When you get to year 7, the complexity start improving. And then from year 7 to year 15, the complexity continues to improve. After year 15, in my opinion, the complexity is there. Then you have a slow progress in complexity, meaning the flavors that tree will develop with the olive oil. Then it slowly improves through the decades, if not the centuries. But then it plateaus around 100. And then it stays that way, I don't know for how long, but maybe for 1,000 years easily.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. The crop will be less. The olive amount on that tree will be less. But the quality will be exceptionally good.
So how old were the trees, Jill, that you bought? Did you buy them as small ones, or were they already producing when this started, when McAvoy started?
When Nan first started, she was fortunate to hook up with a consultant in Italy, Maurizio Castelli. So he helped choose the varietals, the Tuscan varietals that were brought over. And they were about a year to a year and a half old when they were first planted at McAvoy.
And that was, 20 years ago?
In the early 90s, 91, 92, the first trees were going in. And from the original trees that were brought over, we've taken cuttings. which is about a 6-inch cutting of the tree, propagated new trees, and thus we have about 18,000 now from that original start. So our trees aren't old by definitely by Mediterranean standards, but
putting Roberto's timeline on it, you're in the peak, full production,
the full
bouquet,
yes,
the full profile.
Yes, in fact.
Yeah, some of our younger trees are still getting up there, but our older trees are in great production in that regard.
Jill,
definitely.
Even with those, you want to blend them with the other ones, and so there is a use for everything.
Oh yeah, we use every drop of oil. Yes.
So Roberto, when you taste, can you as a master taster differentiate in one harvest the age of a tree?
No. You can find an olive oil that is beautiful in complexity and in persistency, which are two factors that we really care when we taste an olive oil. And you say this, then you know for sure that this is a mature tree with a very established foliage and trunk and branch. So it's that you know when you taste an olive oil that you know comes from someone that really cares but really does not have complexity and persistency. You say, how old are your trees? And they say, 3-4 years old. And then you know.
Sure.
And when is it going to be more? It's going to take another few years. Another 5 years.
But it's Italian. It doesn't matter. Right?
Doesn't matter. Well, you do it with a smile.
We will get into tasting in a minute. This is an organic conversation. Mm-hmm. I'm your host, Helge Hellberg. I'm speaking with Jill Lee, Director of Education at McEvoy Ranch, producers of estate-grown organic extra virgin artisan olive oil, and Roberto Secca, award-winning olive oil expert, master taster, and owner of Frantoio. And we'll be right back after the break.
An Organic Conversation is brought to you by Spotica Skincare. Founded by Janet Lee Katzen, Spotica is a holistic approach to skincare that is 100% pure and natural, free of synthetic chemicals, and includes organic and wildcrafted ingredients. For more information about Spotica Skincare products and the Spotica Spa, visit spotica.com. That's SPHATIKA.com.
Marin Organic is an association of organic producers in Marin County, California, which has become one of the most progressive voices in the sustainable food movement in the United States. Through its many innovative initiatives, such as a school lunch and gleaning program, Marin Organic is creating a healthy, sustainable, and safe environment for all beings, today and for generations to come. Please become a partner in our work by visiting marinorganic.org and by pledging your support now. Thank you.
Frey Vineyards is America's first organic winery, family-owned and operated since 1980. Dedicated to the highest levels of organic and biodynamic farming, Frey never adds synthetic sulfites or other preservatives to their wines. Frey organic and biodynamic wines include delicious Cabernet Sauvignon, Zinfandel, Syrah, Chardonnay, and Sauvignon Blanc. Frey Vineyards Mendocino County award-winning wines, without added sulfites, available at grocery stores and online at freywine.com. That's FREYWINE.com.
Are you looking for a romantic and unusual location in the Bay Area for your wedding or upcoming anniversary? Toby's Feed Barn offers the perfect venue for your celebration. A rustic barn in the heart of beautiful West Marin, with local organic caterers ready to delight your guests amid bales of hay. Toby's Feed Barn in downtown Point Reyes Station. Open 7 days a week. Family owned and operated since 1942. A West Marin original. For more information, visit tobysfeedbarn.com.
Hi, I'm Peter Walsh. My wife and I founded Manika Jewelry with the intention to offer a different kind of jewelry. Beautiful. Made by local Bay Area artists and without a social or environmental compromise. Our featured designers use reclaimed precious metals and Kimberly certified gemstones. It's jewelry made with heart and soul. Come visit our store just off Union Square at 11 Maiden Lane in San Francisco, or visit our website at manikajewelry.com.
And we are back here to an organic conversation. I'm your host, Helge Hellberg, and it's all about this year's olive oil harvest. My guests today, Jill Lee, Director of Education at McEvoy Ranch, and Roberto Secca, award-winning olive oil expert and master taster. And that's what we're going to do right now, tasting. Roberto, you and Jill, you poured. Jill, what did you pour?
I just poured an oil that was made yesterday that we took out of our tanks. That's part of our Olio Nuovo that we're selling. It's a blend of three of the varietals that we grow. And we sell Olio Nuovo as soon as we start bottling. It's a short seasonal product. It's really means new oil, and it's new for a short period of time until we release our traditional blend in the early.
So this will be the 2010 oil that you'll be selling, or can people buy this now?
No. People can buy Olio Nuovo now. Oh, it's available really? For sale, but it will go off the market when our 2010 release is ready, which is the oil we're producing now that we will blend and release.
So when was this crushed?
Yesterday.
Oh, yesterday.
Yesterday.
And which varieties are, you said three varieties are in it?
Right. This contains the Frantoio, Licino, and Pendolino varietals.
And who came up with a blend? Like, why those three? Why would it be possible to just go with the Frantoio blend? Or, Roberto, why is it common to blend?
Because that's a Tuscan variety. That's what you look out the window in Tuscany, and that's what you get.
Those three?
So everyone comes to Tuscany and says, okay, I want to be Tuscan. Yes, everyone, including me, by the way. I was coming from Rio de Janeiro, so.
So those three varieties blend well with each other. Is
Very
that the
well.
Idea?
In terms of weather condition, they also have, one is a pollinator, the Pendolino, so helps pollinate the others, which are a little more lazy. Frantoio resists to the cold weather. So you have, and then, you know, it's through the centuries, the selection. And we have a similar weather here. So therefore, it's ideal to plant a Tuscan variety in California because we have the same weather profile.
And flavor-wise, have you ever tasted a straight, just Frantoio olive oil? Would that be able to hold up, or is it important to have
that? Oh, yeah. In New Zealand, the best in show 2 years ago was 100% Frantoio cultivar, and it was stellar.
So flavor-wise, you don't have to blend the three, but it makes sense for a complex, beautiful.
Adds a little complexity.
Yeah, but sometimes you will be surprised what one beautifully crafted olive oil.
Sure,
one
single
it's
variety.
An art. Blending olive oil is definitely
it's
an art.
It's a nature art because in New Zealand they have four seasons every day. And that what stimulates all the volatiles in the tree, which makes all the fruitiness that we smell and taste.
Okay, so it's the McEvoy Olio Nuovo. Mm-hmm. This year's crush, yesterday's Nuovo.
Yeah.
Nuovo.
Yeah, Italian,
of course.
Spanish.
And it was crushed and put in this bottle yesterday.
That's I was just put in this bottle on my and this morning.
On the way out.
Yeah, out of the
course.
Tank this that's morning.
What
I said, I need the newest,
it.
Freshest oil. And today's oil wasn't ready yet. So.
Oh, that's exceptional. Okay, this is pretty much the youngest or freshest olive oil that I will ever have had. Roberto, what did you bring?
I brought the same varieties, probably one extra in there. My varieties, Frantoio, Licino, Pendolino, and Moraiolo. And so it's a similar variety, but they come from a different area. They come from the southern part of Fresno. So we have trees that are 15 years old, so maybe 12 years old. And we like to make an olive oil that satisfies our clients because I want to make only one and the one that I like. I haven't blended yet. This bottle was filled yesterday.
Yeah, I heard you are your best client, right?
yes, I use a lot. My restaurant is my best client. We use it every day on every dish.
That's what I mean.
So, yes. So this olive oil was made yesterday and was bottled yesterday for me. And I brought it over. And now we're
tell us about the glasses you brought because this is really unusual.
These glasses are made in Spain, and they are dictate the color, the shape, so and the dimension.
Yeah, we're holding kind of a, how would you describe this?
It's a cognac glass without the stem.
That's right. It's kind of an inch and a half, 2 inches high, and it's very buoy.
Yeah.
Like it's heavier at the bottom.
Yes. And I'll explain all of it. First of all, the color blue is to remove the color of the olive oil inside. So the taster will not be swayed by the color of the content. We are not to be influenced by the color. You can have a fabulous golden olive oil and a trashy green olive oil. And so if you don't see the color, you might have the tendency to prefer a green oil.
Yeah.
It might not be good. And yeah.
So this glass I'm holding is really pretty blue, darkish blue, and you can't see what's in it.
Cannot tell that the intensity of the olive oil color. First reason. The shape facilitates the volatiles to be captured and then released when you put your nose in it.
Mm.
Third, the bottom is thicker because it's supposed to be in a warmer, which warms up the content to 30 degrees centigrade.
Oh, so a thicker bottom at the glass.
28 to 30
keeps the warmth of the heater.
Because in fact, when we don't have that, we use our hand. Make sure that your hand is not with any perfume. You put it on top. And then you warm it up by rotating.
Just like cognac.
Just like that, and allowing the palm of your hand to warm up the content of the glass, okay? Wow. Then you put it to your lips, and you don't inhale. You just simply smell three times quickly, and then stop smelling because your nose is going to get tired, and more than that, it's going to be confusing. You just record that sensation of smell, and that is your olfactory sensation. Then you put it in your mouth.
Are we holding all the same olive oil? We're holding the McEvoy.
We're doing the Frantoio.
The Frantoio. Yes.
Okay.
So you do that three times.
I just have to say the smell is phenomenal. Yeah. Fresh olive oil. It's just nothing's better than that.
Wait, so
I'll be equally courteous when you come to your oil.
What is it about olive oil? Like really, this is so healthy. Somehow I react to it on a cellular level. Yeah. I mean, I can tell it's good for me. Why? What is that? Jill, you're a nutritionist. Can we?
From the aroma, I don't have much to say. I mean, I don't know why, but you walk into the mill when oil's being made and you can't leave. It's just phenomenal.
I mean, the antioxidants.
The second oldest food ever made by mankind, Western culture, is based on this.
The second oldest food ever made?
Ever made by mankind and the Western culture. Now, you take that and then you say food, and then it's a lubricant, then it's a source of light. All those little Roman clay pots that you see with the wick, those were all olive oil. And then it's a weapon of last resort, you know, boiling oil down on your...
Not going
to... But, you know, I mean, it's just such an important vehicle for all of us.
Hmm.
That's why the missions planted olive trees all around it, the first thing they did.
And you always speak about the antioxidants, right?
So it's a food, it's a lubricant, it's everything.
It's part of our cells. It's been consumed for so many centuries that 5,000, that's why we're so 9,000 attracted to the aroma and the taste.
So incredible.
It's part of us.
Let's go back to tasting.
So, yes.
So three times with the nose. Now we've rested the nose. You can take another one or two.
Try to record the
sensations, just the olfactory sensation. That the gustatory will come later, but still just use your nose only. You put a limited amount, 10 milliliters in your mouth.
Okay.
And then switch it around.
So describe what you're smelling, Jill.
Okay.
It's green.
Yeah, it's very green.
Very green, grassy.
Very grassy, fresh.
Very fresh.
Yeah. But it has already that olive oil punginess. You can smell it, right? Mm-hmm. You can smell the punch and complexity. Okay.
So when you put it in your mouth, you make sure that you coat just a little sip, okay, so you don't have too much, okay? You coat your entire palate. Then you open your lips and inhale. Close your lips and exhale through the nose. So your retronasal gets activated. So we are still looking just at the olfactory aspects.
My retronasal is activated.
It's activated,
isn't
it?
Goodness.
It's all in the wrist. Okay, so when you do this, then you go to your sheet. And let's suppose we are doing a beauty contest. the olfactory, the aroma portion, you have 35 points. Uh-huh. And then you say all the fruitiness, 0 to 70. Other fruit, 0 to 3. Green, 0 to 2. And you just spread out the aroma into your judging. Okay? Then you take another sip and you do your tongue. So now this is the gustatory aspect. Okay? Take a second sip.
Okay. Second sip.
Spread it on your tongue. Allow the side of the tongue, which are activated by bitterness. And remember the fruitiness. Now it's in terms of gustatory fruitiness. Pungency and bitterness are three positive attributes. Okay? So the only three positive attributes.
So when it tickles in your throat.
It's excellent. It's gallic acid. You want that. It's an antioxidant. It's what you want.
It's not good to be a radio host too. I'm realizing.
No. Yeah, you have to. It's all, drink some water. I mean, the green is called Exanal, and then I brought my little chart with all the various
attributes.
The attributes I know, but the enzymes that create those attributes. I mean, trans-2 Exanal gives the green and pungent. Then ethanol is green, and then I don't want to bore you with all these other, but all
it's
that
extremely it's complex.
Series, yes, it's a series of 15 to 25 enzymes that stimulate all the volatiles. So.
And it's almost buttery sweet on the side of the tongue when you said, you know, spread it to the side of your tongue. Yeah. It's amazing how creamy, it almost gets creamy.
Yeah, we wanted to keep a green and pleasant. And so since I make only one olive oil, I want it to be all purpose. So I can go on fish, on meat. The fruitiness is there. If it is too intense, then you carve a niche for yourself in an area that as one application. But if you know, it's better, in my opinion, I like to make an olive oil that is of all purpose.
Yeah, including pouring it on guests if they don't pay.
Oh my God. that is a German restaurant, not an Italian one.
Jill, let's try the McAvoy.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so in the same manner, first smelling it and then doing the taste.
Which has... is it important when you take it out of the bottle to let it air, just like wine? No.
No. You want to cover it up.
Warm it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you warm it in your hand like this, like we did. And we keep the hand over it because you want to
keep the
allow that the volatiles stay in there so they stimulate your nose completely.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Then the three. And I can already comment on this. This is fabulous olive oil, by the way. And it's much greener than what we experienced before with mine. You smell.
Mm-hmm. So why is that? It's the same varieties, just
the same
because
variety,
of the climate differences?
Aging, climate differences, the coloring of the fruit.
It's much hotter in Fresno,
Yes,
I would say.
Or whatever, the breeze from the ocean is really the climate that dictates that and the coloring on the
so
fruit.
So interesting. Okay, we're taking
a
sip.
Ahead and take a sip.
Yeah.
That is amazing that it's the same varieties.
Yeah. How different.
Very different.
Very different.
A lot more.
Because this is much more unripe fruit than mine. It's very much more bitter on the side of the mouth, which is excellent. It's caffeic acid, which is what you want. It's an antioxidant. It's excellent. And the pungency is very well balanced. You don't mind if I...
Not at all, please.
It's very well balanced between the pungency and the bitterness, which is excellent. It's a goal that we are trying to achieve. I'm impressed that your olive oil has that nice balance even before blending, which is very, very good. It's very green and very intense, and as olio nuovo is fabulous. Brava.
This has a little bit of the greenness. It's like a dandelion green. There's a little with this one, a little celery. That can be picked up.
Yeah,
or
star thistle, or like there's a
Which an oil this will soften things. Will mellow with time, but being made just yesterday, very fresh. These are the notes that we're picking up right now.
Yeah, this it's funny. Madrid tells us exactly which terms we can use, which terms we cannot use. Almond, apple, artichoke. I find the artichoke in here.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
usually there's a little
I find
artichoke.
The artichoke. citrus fruit, eucalyptus. I find eucalyptus.
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely. Right. Yes, eucalyptus.
And so this little bread, drizzle on.
Absolutely.
Fresh olive oil.
Or oil, petrolli sol, something like that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Great, great tasty
yeah,
way
can,
to.
You can already imagine how it will blend with cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Sure. Sure,
I can't imagine anything it wouldn't blend with. These oils both taste delicious.
Course, of course.
Good fresh olive oil, no matter.
And, but you know, we've been doing it. You know, you've been doing it for the same long time,
mm-hmm.
So we have learned how to stay on course.
So, just for a minute, Roberto, you said earlier before the first break, labeling. How would this be labeled, and what would people need to
now
look for?
Now we enter a little bit of the politics
we're almost out of time, but I do want to bring this in because. When people go into the store extra virgin olive oil, it doesn't necessarily mean anything, right?
Unfortunately, for the time being, although when I was the president of the California Olive Oil Council, I fought tooth and nails to have the USDA accept the internationally recognized by the entire world standards for olive oil.
Sure.
And of course, they
did not
treat me very nicely, like they treated my predecessors and my successors, but nothing really happened yet. They promise. They keep promising. We are on the verge of having the grades, but extra virgin olive oil does not have a recognition in this country. So therefore, you can label it if you are an importer, and if you don't get caught and no one will check you, you don't know what you're buying. So if you buy California olive oil, which has gone through the California Olive Oil Council recognition system, which is what we put together 10 years ago to give the extra virgin qualification to oils. That means that it's been tested chemically, and it is within the parameters, and it's been tested by the team of tasters, which are very, very good, and they will give it no defects, and therefore is extra virgin. So buy California olive oil.
Yeah,
know your producer. If you know your producer and you know how they're producing their product,
just go the
buy
safe
local.
Route and do make sure it's McAvoy or from Frontoio Restaurante.
Oh, absolutely, but you can't find it in a store. I don't sell to stores.
No, but people can to come
but
to your
a
place.
You got a website.
Website only. Website
Everyone
only.
Uses a computer today.
Yeah, I love it.
Thank you so much, both of you. That was this week's edition of An Organic Conversation. Thanks again to our guests today, Jill Lee, Director of Education at McAvoy Ranch, producers of estate-grown, organic, extra virgin artisan olive oil. And this is a phenomenal year, if you haven't tried it, to try it. And Roberto Secca, award-winning olive oil expert, certified master olive oil taster, indeed, and owner of Frontoio Ristorante, one of the finest Italian restaurants in the San Francisco Bay Area and Mill Valley, California. The website's again, McAvoyRanch.com and Frontoio.com. To buy products, find more information on tours, and to purchase this wonderful olive oil of this year's harvest. Thank you both for being
part
of the show.
Thank you, Aga.
An Organic Conversation is produced by our wonderful Heidi Hartley. Broadcast sound engineers are our fantastic Kareem Edwards. Amazing production assistant is Justin Hirigoyen. Underwriting production provided by The Ear, the one and only Mark Van Gelder. Thank you all, and also always thanks to the team here at Green 960, our very own Fab Five, Corey Calward, Mark McNone, Chris Gardner, and of course, John Scott and John Plessis. Also, always thank you, our listeners, for being part of this show and for actually listening. For blogs, podcasts, and more information on this show and previous shows, please visit our website at anorganicconversation.com. And you can also find us on iTunes, where you can download An Organic Conversation to your iPhone or iPod to take us with you wherever you may go. If you would like to read my blog, please visit helgehelberg.com. And last but not least, you can also follow us now on Facebook and Twitter. Both look for An Organic Conversation. We love to hear from you. Please send us your comments and questions to share@anorganicconversation.com. Coming up next here on Green 960 is the Gavin Newsom Show, so please stay put. I'm your host, Helge Hellberg. Have a great weekend. And again, thanks for listening to An Organic Conversation here on Green 960.
Ich versuche zu verstehen, was andere in dir sehen, warum sie Kriege anfangen und in deinem Namen Morde begehen, warum sie Menschen dazu zwingen, an einem Virus zu sterben.
2000 Jahre nach dir liegt hier alles in Scherben, hören sie nicht hin. Vielleicht sehen sie